A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage. Coming to you from the main bay at Queen and River. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Yeehaw! Here we go, Davey!
I'm just looking at you drinking that coffee. That's yesterday's coffee.
No, this is fresh Sincola. My grandfather used to call it Sincola. That's water from the tap. Okay.
Water from the tap. Good morning. Good morning. It's here. Dave Redinger from the Dave I'm making rid of that coffee.
How much did you drink this
Life
morning?
Life is tough when you can't sleep at night, I got to tell you. Good morning. It's Dave's Corner Garage with Dave Redinger and, of
Alan Gelman, sitting right beside Dave.
From Glenn
Allen Motors. Ready, willing, and able to answer any and all of your automotive questions.
They have a slogan, which is fast and honest. So I always phone up and ask for fast.
That's my brother. I'm the honest guy. Come on. Let's get that straight.
All righty. We got a great show lineup for you this morning. First off, everybody, and I mean everybody, that gets on the show and gets to talk to us, we'll send you out a pair of tickets to the classic car auction that's up at the airport next week. Friday, I'm going to be there buying neon.
Buying neon?
Yes, I want neon.
You need for the man cave. You're trying to dress it up, I understand.
My wife came over to my man cave and started criticizing it. I told her to wait in the car.
You actually moved your man cave off premises, correct?
Yes, she told me I can't stay home after I retired. She says, you got to get out of the house because this is the kitchen's downstairs. So I happened to put a kitchen in the man cave. She went through my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing good in there. So obviously, I asked her to wait in the car a second time.
There you go. Back bacon and frozen pizza.
Actually, three-day-old pizza.
I was right about the pizza.
That's fun. Anyways, by the way, if you get in, we're going to talk to Terry Lopson about the classic car auction. They got a Mustang convertible KR, one of 140 made.
Uh-huh.
Interesting stuff up there. And, it's just a good end of the season. People were hanging around and having a good time.
You know, especially since Mr. Carroll Shelby passed away a little while ago. I bet you the value of that's going to go up probably.
Right? Cars before his death and cars after his death. So mm-hmm. Who knows? We've got a lot of calls on the phone, so why don't we just get to it? We're going to talk to Mount Forest.
All right, let's talk to Wayne first in Mount Forest. He's got an 07 Ranger and got to get a question about that. What's going on, Wayne? Hello, Wayne.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I've got a Ranger that don't want to drink gas, and all my life I've never had that before.
Seriously. Usually they have the opposite problem.
You mean you're going to plug the hole so the gas doesn't come out?
No, I can't get the gas to go into the tank.
Okay.
Oh, so when you're trying to, so the tank is empty, you pull into the filling station, try to fill it up, and it just doesn't want to go in. Is that it?
Yes, it just kind of spits it out. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to get the gas to go down.
Yeah, simple problem.
Go ahead.
It's not breathing.
The problem is the filler neck itself, exactly.
Yeah, it's not breathing.
What you have to do is you may have to go to the bottom of the tank where the rubber, where the hose goes into the actual tank itself, remove that, and then blow it out. You probably got some spider webs or something in there. We just had a car in the shop recently, too. Same kind of thing. An arachnid can get inside there, make a web, and stop the gas. If it doesn't breathe properly, the nozzle on the gas pump, it thinks it's full. So that's why it keeps backing up, and it keeps shutting down. So that's all it is.
I mean, what kind of spider would build a web in a gas tank? What kind of business can he get? I mean, business is a little slow today because that's the last time I listened to you. The truth is, sometimes you even have to replace the filler neck itself because they coat it in a sort of a plastic, which is supposed to stop it from rusting. Well, over the years, all that's left is the plastic. Everything gets rusted in from underneath. So the reality is, you got to take it to a shop, get them to check the breathing of the gas filler tube.
All righty.
You got that,
Wayne? Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're very welcome.
Good luck, and we'll send you out a pair of tickets to the classic car auction.
And eventually, if he holds on to that 07 Ranger, it will become a classic. What do you think?
No.
No.
It's actually a Mazda, too. They sell those things as Mazdas.
As a matter of fact, there was a big to-do about that because people wanted the smaller pickup truck, and they decided to stop making them.
I think it's the only one that's left. I think the Ranger's the only one that's left in that size. That's a great little model car.
Yeah, it used to make the little S10. They don't make that anymore.
No, little trucks. Anyways, let's quickly go to
Larry in High Park. Yep. He's got a Cadillac. What's going on, Larry?
Yes, Dave, I attended your car care clinic, and it was excellent.
Oh, I know who this is, Larry.
Yeah, the Kia. And I brought my 89 Cadillac Eldorado, the compressor, the level control. So Gino, the service manager, made an appointment, and for nothing, he looked it over, and he said the compressor, there was power going to it, but the compressor and the level control, it needs a sensor. But I want to know where I can get those parts. They're 1989.
GM is kind of bad because they give up on parts after 10 years. That's what the law is, and they actually, after 10 years, it's game over. You know what? If you go on a site that's called car-parts.com, car-parts.com, that gives you every auto wrecker in North America.
Okay. Is there any other way of disconnecting that compressor or putting regular shocks
in it? Yeah, you
could
do that, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, what you can get is you can get replacement shocks.
Yeah.
Where they just have a Schrader valve, which is like the valve in your tire.
Yes.
Okay, and all you do is you just apply. You end up with a valve sticking out by the back bumper near the license plate. Normally, it's where it's mounted.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And then you can adjust the height to wherever you want it, and then just leave it there. That's the easiest way.
Well, that would be better, I think.
Yeah, you can find that at any of the jobbers. If you need to, you can go to an AC Delco one and get something that's close. I'm not sure if any, maybe Monroe or one of the other companies makes it as well, but it shouldn't be a problem getting them.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I think you guys are having too much fun in that job.
Other than the operator, there are no women here.
Larry, thanks very much. Good luck with your Cadillac.
Thanks, Larry. Okay, we're back, and it's Dave's Corner Garage coming to you live from the bay at River Street in Queens. Right across from the dog pound, in case you're interested.
Actually, this is a top video. Is that the one where they have the classic cars?
Yes.
The Roadster?
You know where that Roadster is?
Where is it?
In Cleveland, Ohio.
At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right. Speaking of classic cars, Dave, who do we have on the phone?
I have Mr. Terrence Lobson on the phone from the Classic Car Auction. Good afternoon, Mr. Lobson.
Hello. How are you, Terry?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Hey, what's doing, guy? Good auction. I was amazed how much stuff actually came in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's still rolling in. We'll probably have some more cars coming in right up until the day of the sale, probably the day before, actually. So we try to fill up the spots if we can. So there's still a little bit of time to if you want to get your car in there.
Hey, dynamite article in the Toronto Star this morning in the wheel section.
Yes.
You got a whole page talking about the auction business, pushing the Shelby GT500KR, which stands for King of the Road. You got two of them.
Yeah, well, that's kind of right. It's rare in itself to have one of them, but to have two, a fastback and a convertible, is a rare lining up with the planets. Of course, these are the holy grails of muscle cars.
Terry, question. We were talking about it before. Carroll Shelby just passed away a few months back. How is that going to reflect now on the price of these cars? You think it's going to help stimulate things or what?
Well, I think that's a very popular question. And I think, he did, and I think one of these cars is actually signed, which probably, like anything, you know, does become, you know, for autographed any type of memorabilia,
right?
You know, does add to the value, and unfortunately, you know, he's not with us anymore. And I think there is that, the legend will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And because these cars were built in just very low numbers, like his AC Cobras were too.
Yes.
They will just continue to climb. These are the primo investment cars. So I don't think it's really going to have much of an effect. I think they're just going to continue to go up and up. They're not going to double or anything overnight because he's not with us. But I think it does have some effect, like Elvis and all the other things that, you know, people, celebrities have passed on. Obviously, their memorabilia, or things that they actually owned or were involved with do tend to climb.
Terry, the average price for this vehicle we're talking about, is, according to the paper, is 173,000 big ones, or half a house, or Toronto a porch. But there's another guy here selling a 69 Plymouth Roadrunner. He's got 170,000 in it, and he's selling it unreserved.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, from the Mopar world, it's, you know, it all comes down to these values, of course. It's really difficult because each one of these cars was ordered with certain options. So, you know, the rarer the car, if it had these kind of wheels and this combination of a four-speed and this engine and these codes, that's really what makes them rare.
Okay.
I remember a few years ago that the Hemi Cuda convertible went for almost $2.5 million.
Yeah,
which and it was one out of seven that were built, and out of the seven, this was the only one that had this special color paint and the elastomeric bumpers and a four speed.
Yeah. But Terry,
so that's what made it rare.
Right, but I think for the general public to realize here is not everything is going to be sold for seven and eight figures here.
Yeah, exactly.
There's things at the show for everybody to see, correct?
Yes, and I think that's the thing. There's cars in there from, you know, under 10,000 to over 100,000. There's enough of a variety. And I think that being here in Canada, too, we have to realize that the popular shows that we see in the States, the auctions down there, it's a totally different market. Not only are they more aggressive on the bidding,
mm-hmm.
But they have a longer driving season than we do up here, and therefore, you know, we're going to make more of an investment in the car. We've only got a short window, so not to say there's not money here, but there's a lot more of it down there.
If you go down to B&J's auctions, the booze is free. The more booze you got, the higher the prices are.
Well, we feel that. I think what happens there is that helps to lubricate the arm.
Yes.
So it floats a little higher. So, you know, when you're bidding, it actually helps.
We've been giving tickets away, but you expect a crowd of about 20,000 over the weekend, which is a good crowd.
Yes, it is.
Right? And we've got a flea market going.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things going on. Basically, services and products and memorabilia, and we do the auctions, too, with things for your garage, neon signs and gas pumps and all that. So it's really a part of we celebrate kind of the whole hobby, so there's something for everybody. And it's just the excitement of being there. You're, you know, with car people, and it's one of the few times of the year, too, so it's all indoors, so it's great. No matter what the weather is, they get together and you meet some old friends and make some new ones.
And exactly. And a lot of times people are thinking about getting into the hobby perchance. But, you know, this is a great place where you can ask people. You're going to bump into people who are like-minded. And people are usually quite happy to help each other out.
Yeah. If you look at it, it's kind of like a crash course of, you know, if you took a night course at school on to buy a classic car, this would be the place to do it because you really can talk to professionals about, you know, that particular car you're interested in, and they mm-hmm. can tell you everything about it. The auction people also, too, can help you through the process of, you know, how it is to bid at auction. And then, you know, you can talk to people look at the cars, try them on for size, mm-hmm. and open the door and sit in them and see if it fits. And
we're going to have to cut you off shorter, but we want to thank you. So the classic car auction is starting, what, Friday at 5?
It starts at Friday. Doors open at noon on Friday.
Yeah.
And then we start a little memorabilia in the afternoon, and the cars will start rolling about 5. I think we start about 3 o'clock with the memorabilia, and then cars at 5, and then runs till 8. And then 10 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday in the morning.
All right, so if there are any questions, 416-923-7500, it says here in the newspaper, I guess, or ccpauctions.com.
There you go.
Yep, check it out. We've got them all. The cars are online, and as they come in, we pop them up there, and you see pictures of them. And if you've got any questions, shoot us an email or give us a call.
All right, Terry.
And a thank you to you and Dan Spendick for giving us the tickets to hand out.
These are anytime.
VIP tickets. No slouchy tickets here. They're for the whole weekend.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, we'll hope to see you guys down there. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And
Neon. We'll think Neon. I'm buying Neon.
All right, take care, Terry.
On Friday.
All right, bye-bye.
Terry, thank you so much.
All right, Davey, where are we going now?
Let's go to see Robert. He's been hanging out for a while.
Robert is calling in from Toronto, and he's got a question. Go ahead, Robert.
Are you guys going to be at the show so we can see if you look as good as you sound on the radio?
You know what? A guy comes up to me and he says, you know, I've been listening for so long, you don't look at all what I thought you'd look like. And I go, neither do you. we're going to be there. Friday I'm going to be there actually looking for stuff. What I actually look for is it's the end of the season. I will try and buy something that I can rebuild over the winter and bring back in spring. So I'll be looking for something that needs a little bit of work, is a little undervalued, and I will buy that, restore it over the winter and bring it back for the spring market. And I may not even sell it here. I may just sell it to a U.S. auction or into a regular auction, like their dealer exchange auction.
Hey, Robert, you had a good question for us?
I've got one of those in my drive. I'll sell you. You know, just practically give it to you if you want to redo it.
Okay, I got to ask. What is it?
It's a Kia.
Magenta. Oh, great car, but not a classic yet.
Well, anyway, I recently bought it. It's a 2006, and I was wondering, usually when I get older cars, I change all the fluids in them, but it's getting a little expensive. So I was wondering what you could shed any light on these additives you put in for injectors and throttle bodies and stabilize this and clean that. Are they of any advantage? Because it costs a lot to change everything.
In a lot of cases, you know.
Alan, I'm going to stop you. We're going to take a quick break because we're running out of time here.
Hey. You're not taking advice this time.
Doesn't have a lot of wheels at our house.
You are heading out this afternoon, yeah, going on a pleasure trip with your wife, as a matter of fact.
To Buffalo.
Cross-border shopping, are you?
Yep. There's this place there called Harbor Freight Tools, which is like Princess Auto on steroids.
Okay.
And I'm going to go down there and buy a bunch of stuff because, what is it, $750 you can bring back?
I don't know. They just changed the rules. Yeah, maybe you should ask on the way over.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to bring a bunch of stuff. Even if I have to pay HST, I don't care. By the way, just a quick reminder, Car Care Clinic. We are talking about how a car works. Should you bring it in for service? How's the warranty work? What do you do with your tires in the winter, whether it's our summer tires? Should you change your tires?
Dave,
how to read a tire? Well, how do you know how old your tires are? And I teach you about the DOT numbers.
Where can they do that?
Well, this time, October the 25th, it is at Hamilton Kia. So if you're in the western part of the province, you should come and visit us. Hamilton Kia is on Upper James. Upper James and, I don't know, someplace.
In the Hammer. In the Hammer.
Anyways, get on the website. It's carcareclinic.ca, or you can call my cell phone. It's 905-567-5500, or they call it here the red line. Just leave a message, and somebody will call you back.
And there's no strings attached. There's no cost.
It's
and
free.
Free.
We buy you coffee and the best donuts in town from Timmy's, and we have a good time. It's really interesting, and the real problem is we have to throw the people out at the end.
And it's open to men, women. You don't have to own a Kia. It's,
nope.
No, it's perfect, and you can find out all about the cars.
And if you're a women's group and you want to learn about cars, let us know, and we can arrange something that you girls can have one night or something. We're going at right till December the 13th, and then we're going to take a break, and then the new schedule will be out for next year.
All right.
And let's go back to
speaking
Robert.
Of advice, we were talking to Robert just before, yeah. And he had a question about additives. Generally speaking, Robert, you know, guys in the business will say, well, a lot of times they're like chicken soup, okay? In other words, it may not necessarily help a lot, but it won't hurt. Certainly, you're not getting the same kind of effect. So, for example, if you take a can of, fuel injector cleaner, and it's just the type that you pour into the gas tank, it's not going to be the same as, for example, getting a whole motor vac system done. In other words, where they attach a machine to clean out the intake manifolds and the back of the valves, it's not going to be as good as. But certainly as a preventative thing, why not? It's not really going to hurt. Same thing with there's oil type of additives, octane enhancer additives. So again, but keep in mind too, strictly from a mechanic's point of view, I guess Dave will agree with me. If there's something really wrong with your car,
there's something really wrong.
Yeah. And putting one of these things in there is not going to help a whole lot. And if it does, it's just going to be a Band-Aid. It's only going to help for a very short period of time.
And Robert, we call that mechanic in a can.
Exactly.
And the truth is, it doesn't do much. But if this vehicle is, what, an 06?
Yeah.
I would put the injector cleaner in. I think that probably would be the best.
You got to check engine light on, or you got a rough idle? What's it doing?
No. It's just, I used to put that stuff in years ago when, you remember the old Slick 50 and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And the vortex that you put in the air intake. And
don't waste your time on that stuff.
Run on air, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're right. At the older days, even like 10 years ago, the technology has gone forward in leaps and bounds. It is so sophisticated now that some of the stuff you put in can actually hurt it. So,
all right, then. Thanks, guys.
All right, very much, Robert. Take care.
See you out at the show.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be
Take
there.
Take care. Thank you.
Just as an announcement, North Toronto Auction is coming up on November the 2nd, and the folks at Quantum Finance, QDFC. So if you're a dealer and you're looking to finance some used car stock, they asked me to give you a note. They're going to be there with a table, giving out all kinds of swag. And bottom line is, November the 2nd, your car dealer, North Toronto Auto Auction, look for their table, and that's that.
All right, we're going to go up to Tottenham now and speak to Dolly, who's been hanging on for quite a while. Dolly, you having a problem with your Sunfire, is that right?
Yes, I am.
What's it doing?
Hello!
When I go out and start it, it starts up.
Uh-huh.
And then when I drive it and I shut it off, and if I go to start it again, it just turns over, but it won't kick in.
So when you try it, so when it's warm, you fire it up and it goes rrrrrr, but will not start, right?
Yes. Yeah, but if I let it sit for about 5 minutes and turn the key, away it goes.
Okay.
When I drive it for up to about 50 clicks, it feels like it's sluggish, like it's pulling.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get up past 50 clicks, it seems to smooth out, but the further I drive it, it seems to be worse, like as long as I keep it down below 50 clicks.
So, Dolly, if you were to continue to drive it for a couple hours, would it continue to drive or does it die after a little while?
No, it drives, but right now it's unreliable.
Obviously. Okay. You
know? Well, hello.
Dolly, what I'm thinking is, it sounds to me like you've got a fuel pump problem here.
Yes.
It sounds like to me that the fuel pump is holding back. Once it starts to warm up a little bit, you're not developing the pressure and the volume.
Uh-huh.
Have you had the fuel filter changed on this car?
No.
Okay, that would be the first thing to do, is have the fuel filter changed, because it's either plugged or it certainly can make the fuel pump work way too hard.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you're not getting the fuel delivery as quick as you need it. Again, you know, check your records. If you have not had it done, have your mechanic change it. And what you can ask him to do at the same time is say, you know, do me a favor. When you take the filter off, turn it upside down. Give her a shake. I want to see what comes out. Because
okay.
It's usually mud.
It, you know, because if it's plugged, you'll have a lot of stuff come out.
You know, there's a story, I guess it's an urban myth.
Yeah?
Urban myth. It's if this woman comes in just like you with the same problem, she says when she goes and buys ice cream, and if she buys vanilla, she goes back, the car starts up right away. If she buys pistachio, the thing doesn't start.
Okay.
So nobody believes this gal. So finally the mechanic goes with her, and she buys vanilla, the car starts right away. She goes back in. And she buys pistachio, goes back, car does not start.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that the vanilla is prepackaged, and she just buys it. It takes like a minute, and she's in and out of the store. The pistachio, you got to hand pack, takes a little bit longer. The car heat soaks, and like in your case, didn't start. So you know what? No matter how you describe it, the problem is still the problem. It's a heat soaking problem.
All right, Dolly?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day, love.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Really? So did the woman have to change her diet? Or fix
yes,
her car.
Yes, from now on, she's a vanilla guy.
416-360-0740 is the number.
Or vanilla.
Okay, we're going to go to Lee in London, who's got a Volvo question, I guess. What's going on, Lee?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I need some advice.
Okay.
I bought a 1999 Volvo V70 last year.
So now you're asking for advice?
I'm sorry?
Now you're asking for advice?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
nice,
go ahead.
I bought this a year ago. It was one owner. It had 100,000 kilometers on it.
Right.
In the last year, I've put it just under $4,000 into it for snow tires and brakes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It now needs the ABS control module and the power steering rack replaced, which probably is going to cost me about $2,000. Do I invest that money into it or bite the bullet and get a new car?
I think your second thought was probably the better thing to do. First
bite
of all,
the bullet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because your $2,000, first of all, I think is low on the end of estimates for what it's going to cost to fix.
Why is it so much work?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be $4,000 or $5,000
yeah,
to fix.
Say, it's a 99. It's a good model. Who's been telling you you need all this stuff?
I'm sorry?
Why do you think you need this?
My mechanic has told me that. What happened was...
ABS warning light is coming on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's taken a look at it, and...
And you've also got a leak from the power steering, I'm guessing?
And I got a leak from the power steering.
You know what? Even if you ran it without ABS, it's not the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
You can drive forever without ABS. It's basically only in the snow, and then if you know how to pump a pedal, you can get around that.
Okay.
And the leak... You know, how bad's a leak? And You throw some stuff in there.
Maybe. How often do you have to put fluid in? Do you know?
I'm going to say every 7 to 8 weeks.
Oh, that's not too bad. As a matter of fact, a caller called in earlier about additives. There is you can get a stop leak kind of chemical.
Yes.
If you go to the tire or any big automotive store, tell them that your power steering is leaking, and you understand it's a special additive you can pour in there.
Okay.
And you could buy that. So, Dave, like Dave is saying, instead of you know, trashing the car and getting nothing for it,
right?
Just put a Band-Aid on it, and maybe you continue to drive it for a bit. But, you know, don't get us wrong here. I mean, if you're not going to be comfortable, because, hey, I see on the screen you come from London,
right.
A lot of snow there. If you're not going to be comfortable with ABS brakes not working, well, then, yeah, the best advice would be to trade it in and buy something else.
My philosophy is no expense spared. No expense bared.
All right, Lee?
No, that's great. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, that's a good question. When do you walk away?
Well, you know what? This is great that she did that, because generally speaking, you know, people get way too deep into it, and then they're choking. They can't get out of it, and they've just got so much money in, they don't want to.
Buried.
Yeah, and it never ends. It really doesn't.
Speaking of buried, the F1 fans, if you're into the races at New Jersey coming up 2013, forget about it.
Yeah, but Dave, question. I was reading in the paper. Isn't there a U.S. Grand Prix coming up, like in a couple
one
of weeks?
Yes, Texas.
In Texas.
This
is the inaugural event.
European manufacturers that sell cars in the United States want the Grand Prix to be here because they're pushing cars, Mercedes, etc. So the F1 Grand Prix in New Jersey is postponed for another year. Not because it's not finished. They didn't come up with the $30 million that they want for the fee.
Well, just like in Lee's case, it all comes down to money.
It all comes down to the black and white and the green.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line here is look for maybe next year if they come up with a $30,000. That's a lot of dough.
So they want to push Mercedes, eh?
Yeah, Bernie's out there screaming and yelling.
Well,
and,
you know what? So the Europeans want to be pushing their cars?
Well, it's a scary thing is we might lose the Canadian Grand Prix because Octane, the managing company, declared bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
The Edmonton Grand Prix is no longer. The NASCAR race in Montreal no longer.
Okay, Dave, enough bad news. We got to take a break.
That's good news.
Let's think positive, okay? When we come back from the break, we're going to take some more of your calls.
We're going to think positive. We're going to talk about airbags.
We've got John in Mississauga, Rick in Orillia, and Gord Colin from Brampton. This is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rock and roll, baby! This is Dave's Corner Garage here on...
Starring...
The Queen of Riverstead, starring Alan Gelman.
Well, now I was thinking about you.
Star of stage, screen and hoist, Dave Redinger. Welcome back. We're going to talk right away with Gord here from Brampton, who's got an airbag problem.
What's going on, Gord? Hello, Mr. Gord. What's going on?
It's not a problem. What it is a 03 Volvo.
Yes.
And the SRS system...
Yes.
It on a label on the doorpost, it says that it should be after 10 years should be serviced or the bags replaced.
Yeah, that's great sticker, eh?
I love that.
Yeah, for a safety
it's
point
10 grand.
Of view, yeah.
Yeah, really, you write
but
the car
like
off.
It's going to cost me a lot.
I kind of wonder. I've seen that on cars too, and I thought, how many people actually go in and say, "I'm here for my airbag replacement and wallet removal"? Can you do that both at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've never heard of anybody actually getting it done.
I think the idea is it's one of those disclaimers that gets them out from under. If that's the truth.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I was another reason why I thought they might put on is a liability.
Yes.
If it didn't go off when you had a crash, you can't go back to the company if you never had it serviced.
You know, and I have to tell you something. On most vehicles, it's like a $5,000 to $10,000 replacement.
Yeah, it's huge money. Yeah, I don't know how anybody would ever get it done.
Yeah, so I doubt anybody's ever done it. The truth is, after 10 years, most manufacturers walk away from the car.
You could be very right, though, Gord. Yeah. It may just fact be that someone is, you know, it's a disclaimer. It's a way they can get away without doing it. All right, got to run, Gord.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to go to John next, who's calling from Mississauga, and he's got a question about brake fluid, I guess. What's going on, John? Do you want to change it, or is it leaking? What's
nope.
the problem?
2001 Honda Accord, the red light came on the dash, you know, for the brakes.
Yep.
And I noticed I was getting a bit of a drip in the driveway, so I opened the reservoir, and it was down. So I went and got brake fluid and put it in.
Yes.
But and the red light since gone, but It's I went to one place and they said, they put it up on the hose and said, your brake lines are gone.
Okay.
Yes. And I went to another place and they said, no, it's not the brake lines, it's your brakes. So how do I, you know, truly find out whether it is a leak in the brake line or the brakes or the brakes?
Well, you know what? Listen, when the car's up on the hoist, just have the guy show it to you. It's quite simple. I mean, when you talk about it being a 91 Honda, it could very well be that the brake lines have rusted through. See, normally when your brakes are worn out, it has nothing to do really with the hydraulic fluid, okay? So in other words, if you're losing brake fluid constantly, yep. Well, there has to be a leak of some kind.
Yeah.
Okay? And in most cases, it's quite visible. In other words, if they lift up your car and take you underneath and say, if you look over here... And it'll be quite obvious. It's going to be because the brake fluid doesn't dissolve, doesn't go away. So you're going to see a big oily spot in one particular, you know, area. And it's,
you know what kind of, you know, cost it is to replace the brake lines?
Yeah, a lot of money. Unfortunately, the brake lines and the fuel lines usually all run together in the same chassis, in the same area underneath the floor. You could be looking at $400 or $500, $600. It's just labor intense. The materials aren't worth a whole lot. It just takes a lot of time and effort to do it.
Right. Okay, well, thanks very much.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Now, it could be a possibility, too, that we don't know that the brakes are worn down, correct?
You know, what's interesting to me is a car is 10 years old, car is 12 years old, car is 15 years old, and it's still out there running around and doing good service.
Right.
You know, when I came first into the industry, if a car was 7 years old, you scrapped it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, they used to rust out a lot more, lot worse. But mind you, you know, Dave, we talk about rust proofing a lot of times or rust protection. A lot of people don't realize that although, you know, remember in the old days you see the cars going down the road and the bottoms of the fenders and the doors would be hanging up? You don't really see
or
that much
floors.
Anymore.
The floors, you know, we used to check a car, used to... on the floor to see if it actually was there.
See, we don't really see that anymore. And people think that, you know, the whole rust issue is not that big a deal.
No, no, no.
But in fact, it is. We do see components underneath that are important, like brake lines, fuel lines, gas tanks.
Okay.
They're all important.
You come in after 10 years, the car has not been serviced as far as rust is concerned. And what happens? You can't get the shocks out. You can't get the suspension bolts out. The bushings are seized.
Yeah.
All this stuff that should have been wet is dry. And you wonder why you got a big bill because the guy's in there with a torch, heat and everything.
Exactly. Sometimes we and we can't eat it as techs. It's like you got to charge extra time for, first of all, the time it takes. You've
pay
got
me now,
oxygen and acetylene. You got to get it fixed.
Pay me later.
All right. We're going to go up to Aurelia next and speak to Rick. Rick, how are you doing today?
How are you? Good morning.
Excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
Very well. I called a couple weeks ago regarding noise in my 2012 Honda Civic, and you suggested placing some insulation and garbage bags in the trunk liner to sort of deaden it.
Yep.
I did that, but actually what your suggestion did, it really helped me because it silenced the back end of the car and allowed me to detect where the true problem was.
Oh,
and it turned out to be a wheel bearing in the left front.
Son of a gun, see that?
Yes.
hang on, back up here. So you quietened down the back end of the car to find out that you had a problem in the front.
You mean
the back end was so noisy you didn't realize the left front bearing was gone?
The noise transferred throughout the entire car.
Wow.
And the noise turned out to be your wife, right? No.
She's very quiet. Believe it, it was so loud we could not speak to each other in the car.
Oh, God, no, all right.
But I thank you for that.
Interesting. So you swapped out the bearing?
I'm sorry?
Did they swap the bearing out now?
I can barely hear you.
Sorry, the bearing was changed and now the noise is gone?
The bearing was changed. Everything's fine now. And I put a bat and a half of insulation in the trunk. The car is unbelievably quiet.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
All right, good luck.
Does. Thanks.
Thank you for calling in, Rick.
All right, bye-bye.
You know, when I started that was I had a Riviera Buick.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, like, noisy. Couldn't bear it. And I ended up with the insulation. A guy told me about that, and I did it. And the car was just a pleasure to drive. Really, I thought the car was worth a hell of a lot more money before.
But what happens a lot of cases, you know, Dave, when it comes to noises, they start gradually. Same thing when when something starts to wear out, whether it's linkage or something, these things start gradually. So your brain automatically compensates for it.
Yeah.
And you don't realize. We just had a Volvo in this past week that we put new winter tires on. And, you know, like, whenever we're finished a job up at my shop, I generally like to take the car for a road check just to make sure that everything is done properly. So I'm driving the car and I'm going, how come, what's so noisy here? Because when the vehicle came in, the customer didn't complain about a noise, okay? And, of course, I asked the tech, and the tech said, it must be the new snow tires. I went, yeah. No. No, this is way too loud. Just like the last caller from Aurelia, it's like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe how loud it was. And, yeah, this turned out it needed a wheel bearing. And those are important things that need to be done.
And they're not serviceable. You can't go in and say, service my wheel bearings anymore, because they're sealed units. And some of them are actually the bearing, the hub, and the ABS generator, and all that stuff is all in one piece, and it comes out to a $400 part, and it's $8 to put in.
All right, we're back.
Broker T and the MG.
Yes.
Which stands for, which I was corrected, Memphis Group.
Exactly, not Morgan Garage.
Morris's Garage.
Morris's Garage?
Morris's Garage.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna Dave, before the break, you know, we mentioned that Bob is calling in from Woodville.
Yeah.
And you didn't know where Woodville was.
I still don't know where Woodville is.
Okay, Bob, could you please fill in my sidekick, David, and tell him where Woodville is?
Yeah, hi, good morning. About 25, 30 clicks west of Lindsay, north of Manila.
Whoa, I was wrong. I was wrong. You know what? I was thinking about Kettleby. There's another thriving metropolis. All right.
Little known facts of little worth and less consequence. Okay.
All right, Bob in Woodville, you got a problem with your brakes? Is that it?
Yes, I'm restoring a 1998 Chrysler Sebring convertible, a JXI. Right.
How come it needs restoration already?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
This one did anyways. It spent 4 years in Alabama, which didn't do it any good.
Really?
Yeah, the sun really beat it up.
Okay.
I've been doing car repairs for years. But this one has four-wheel disc brakes, the first time I've had four-wheel discs.
Yeah.
And I cleaned up the equalizer. I put rotors on it. I put pads on it. I've cleaned everything up. I bled the brakes. When I sit at a corner, about 10 seconds after sitting at the corner, the pedal will suddenly drop about a quarter of an inch. And I think it's the rear calipers hanging up. Is that what's happening?
It could possibly be, but I'd be more inclined to be thinking about a master cylinder.
Yeah, bypassing.
Yeah, it sounds to me like that's most likely what it is. Oh, an easy trick, what you can do is, now, you don't want to be driving, okay? But on the back wheels, or the fronts for that matters, but on the backs, you know you have flexible hoses there?
Yes.
Well, what you can do is clamp off the hoses. Alrighty.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, clamp off the back hoses. You can just use a pair of vice grips, put a rag around it or something. You don't want to ruin the hose. And then apply the brake pedal and see what happens. If the fade does not happen, then, hey, maybe it is a back caliper.
Now, a question for you. Did you bleed the brakes?
Did I bleed them? Yes.
Okay. Many times when you bleed the brakes on an older vehicle, you run the master cylinder past where it used to work before, like it's always working in the one-inch area where it's always working. Now, all of a sudden, you're pumping it, you're moving it through its whole stroke, and you can damage the rubber seals inside.
Right, because the piston's now going into an area that could be corroded and dirty.
Right. So you may have a problem with the master cylinder. What I like to do here is shut the engine off, step on the master cylinder, just release the pressure. Don't move it. Just release it and press it again and see if it goes lower. Release the pressure, press it again, see if it goes lower. If it does, the master cylinder is bypassing.
Okay.
All righty.
I never thought of clamping off the flex hoses.
That's right. I learned that from Jed.
Okay.
Jed, clamp it. Okay. Bob, take care.
Thanks very much.
All righty.
I think he came from Woodbridge.
We're running out of time, but let's quickly try and talk to Helen.
Helen's got a problem with her remote control.
Yeah.
Is this for the television or is it for your car?
It's for my car, dear.
Okay. What's it doing or not?
Well, the thing is, it's my clickers don't work on the car. I've got to open the car manually.
Okay. Now, do you have two clickers or one clicker?
Two clickers.
Which one works?
None of them work.
I've been
playing with the batteries, you know.
Okay.
And the clickers. But, hey, the lights go on, you know, to tell me it's working, but just the doors just will not open.
Oh, so it doesn't actuate.
Yeah, okay. You're having a problem with the security system itself in the car. The receiver is not seeing it. Yeah, because if you tell me that you see the light come on the clicker when you press the button, then obviously the battery is working.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the problem is with the receiver itself inside the car.
What kind of car is this?
Oh, it's a beautiful Saturn Ion. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
2005.
Who services Saturn now? GM still?
Yeah, GM does. You can still get parts for it.
Is this something you're going to have to go to the dealership with?
Oh. Okay. Is it going to be expensive?
Yes, ma'am.
It probably will be. You know what? I don't have his phone number in front of me, but if you want to find Elliot, start Auto Electric.
Yeah, Start okay. Auto Electric.
He is in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
He's on 401 Dundas Street East, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
And give him a call and tell him what the problem is, and maybe he can give you a ballpark price on the phone. He may have an idea. Okay. All righty?
Okay, thank you very much. Well, have a nice day.
You're thanks, very welcome.
Thank you.
Too.
By the way, my Crossfire, nobody could figure out, I couldn't figure out, that I couldn't get the locks to work on it.
Uh-huh.
Turned out it was a broken wire under the fuse box, and Ellie found it.
And Ellie was the guy that found it.
Ellie found it, yeah.
My dad has a problem with his clicker, too.
Cost me $9,000 to fix, but I fixed it.
My dad's clicker is always messing up, but it's the one for the television, eh?
Okay, now, a couple of items. Everybody that called in today will get a set of tickets for the Classic Car Auction. We will mail them out on Monday morning, so you should get them by Wednesday. If you do not get it and you did call, phone me. I'll get your name put into the will call desk, and we'll get you the tickets. Car Care Clinic coming up October the 25th. Go to carcareclinic.ca or phone the hotline, 905-567-5500. Leave a message, and we'll get back to you. And the Natural Health Show, we're supposed to tell you, is coming on after this. I need that.
Nothing to sneeze about.
Alan, go ahead.
You caught me off guard. I didn't know what. I want to thank Nada for filling in this week, as a matter of fact. Christina wasn't here this week. And, of course, want to thank all our callers for calling in. I have a special listener, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Well, two. My parents listen in.
Oh, great.
My mom does all the time.
Does she criticize you?
No, she lies. She always says it was a great show.
Yeah, there you go.
And she loved me. But
my wife never listens. Barb says, well, I hear him all day. I don't have to listen to him on radio.
It's a good thing she doesn't, because if you know, you sometimes push the envelope, I must say. I just want to send a heads up to my dad. Hopefully he's feeling better. He's been under weather for a few weeks now, and we're hoping it turns around.
Nobody likes that. Okay, so that's it, guys. Just a quick reminder that the Car Care Clinic is coming up. We want to thank you for joining us. Next week, we're not going to be here. It's going to be a repeat program.
Okay.
Because he's got a wedding or something.
It's a bar mitzvah.
You've got a bar mitzvah to go to. And hopefully my son's wife will have popped the kid out by then.
Woo-hoo!
Goodbye, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye,
thanks,
everyone.
Nadia.
Thanks for calling.